Welcome to the Right Sound Podcast with Aria Desolates and Colin C. Welcome back. It is cloudy and fall-like out. It's a lovely time of year to be a creator.
Oh yeah, totally. This is my bedrock of creativity now. It's getting into these months.
Yeah. And I think the fact that NaNoWriMo is right around the corner is helping motivate me a little bit because all of the other fellow writers are gearing up for...
Yeah, you've been very motivated these past few days. Yeah,
which is a good transition to this topic, which is exterior influences on your creative life.
Yeah.
We thought that it would probably be a good idea to talk about how we came to be. Mm-hmm. For me, it was because I read The Outsiders by Essie Hinton, and I absolutely fell in love with her writing. I always felt when I was a kid, for some reason, writing in a female perspective was really hard for me. And I think it's just because I was a very socially awkward female. So, and I grew up with two brothers. So I think I understood the male perspective. I'm a gamer. Like I just naturally ended up being around a lot of guys. So I ended up writing from a male perspective. But because my name is Rachel, everyone who would read Rachel Desolates would assume that I was writing from a female perspective, and I wanted to take that assumption out of my name. I didn't want a gender identity to be my name and influence my readers before they even start opening the book and before they start reading.
It's interesting that you were able to associate that early on too, because that's usually something that when you come to appreciate literature or any art, the influence of having a name on something and how that's going to, you know, direct certain attention or divert attention by name alone. It's pretty cool that you were able to hit on that very early on.
I think we can thank my 7th grade reading teacher for that, because she had a discussion about why Essie Hinton went by her initials instead of her full name. Because it is such an iconic boy story.
Yeah. It's funny. I was just, Killer Mike was just actually talking about The Outsiders.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just really interesting to think that such an iconic piece about boys, about teen boys, is written by a woman.
What other influences did you feel like early on were really imperative to how you've, you know, grown as an author later on?
You know, that's a tough one because I was very classically trained. My school did all of the traditional, very classical literature readings, you know, Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet. And if you hear noises in the background, we're gonna just announce that Gertie is here. He has decided it is bath time.
Yeah.
So if you hear little grunts or anything like that, that is Gertie making his appearance on the podcast. It's interesting because I fell into the young adult world, I think, much later in my life. I didn't read a lot of young adult literature when I was growing up. The Outsiders was one of them. And most of the stuff was for school. Blue Coyote, I guess, was another one. But I read a lot of adult literature. And I think when I truly discovered how vast young adult coming of age stories can be, it really kind of hit home for me that that's more what what I want to do. I think I took everything that I classically got trained in and then decided that I wanted to write the stories that weren't there when I was a kid, that I really wished had been there to guide me through. It's huge to be able to share your experiences with someone who's younger and basically tell them, like, you just got to fight through it. Yeah. But not in, like, such a straightforward way. The story of a character.
There's definitely been a shift to mental health not being so, you know,
scary to talk about. Thank goodness. So for you, why did you decide to go by Colin C, and where did Slider come from?
You talk about having early influences kind of predicting kind of like how you want to take on an identity. Back when I was a kid, I had many different identities. I came up with different projects left and right, you know, when you're, you know, a young teenager.
You still do.
I know, I still do to some degree, but it would be like every week, you know, or you get together with your friends and they want to make a band. It wasn't until later on when I had gone through different monikers and kind of come to the realization that I wanted to pick something, for, at least for Slighter, that was kind of indicative of what I was making as far as the typography of it. So there's an element to choosing Slighter that really came down to how it looked in print.
Oh.
Being informed a lot by visual content and movies and such, to me it was highly important that when you saw the name that there was a strikingness to it, and the way that Slighter looks is just very slick and it's very pointed in a way. So I adopted that, kind of changing that term into a noun for the project. But as far as Colin C goes, I've never been really attached to my last name, so for me instead it was just kind of like an abbreviation in a sense, to kind of combine Colin with my middle name and not be just Colin Cameron, but Colin C. Because, again, it looked nice. A lot of those decisions for me are again, aesthetically chosen. And just to make things simple, I didn't really put too much weight behind calling myself Colin C versus, you know, Colin Cameron. And occasionally I will go by Colin Cameron, but, you know, with publishing music and such like that, then I'll use my full name. I guess less informed, in a sense, by influence as it was just kind of necessity.
It's interesting of the design element since you have a design background. So, but I never, for whatever reason, I never put that together that that was a major factor
totally.
Into. Yeah.
Prior to Slighter, I had deep tone.
Yeah. Not as good. I don't know. Mm-mm.
Yeah. So there was a point where it was like deep tone versus Slighter when I was trying to move away from a specific genre of dance music that I had kind of been pigeonholed into by a label at the time, because I had put out my first vinyl record and it says deep tone on it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I should have come up with something better.
What was the one album that made you go, I want to sound like that? Like, what was the first thing that you started mirroring, or first couple of things?
Yeah, it would depend on the time frame for me, because if you talk about like early influences, you know, you're in middle school. I remember when I was in, it had to been fifth grade, Nicholas Andolina showed me Nine Inch Nails. I had no idea what Nine Inch Nails was. At the time, I was listening to, as most kids in the early 90s did, Nirvana, Pearl Jam. So when you first hear Nine Inch Nails, it was like this dark and kind of angry kind of stuff. And I felt like, wow, that's pretty cool. And didn't really know much about electronic music at that time. You'd have to fast forward a few years and being exposed to electronic music. And then I was like, oh, well, this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. So my influence kind of drastically shifted at that point. And I went into this whole like rabbit hole of electronic music. And at first, it wasn't even like, I want to make this kind of music. I just was enthralled by it because it was totally different. I thought synthesizers were in like, you know, Madonna songs. I didn't realize you could take electronic things and make stuff sound less popularized in a sense.
Yeah.
When I first started making electronic music on my PC, I was trying basically just to copy everybody I could hear. And it would be Underworld, Left Field, The Prodigy. Anything that, you know, I loved, I tried desperately to figure out how to make it. What writing style were you most attracted to?
Let me start by saying, this is a hard one, because I feel like I've become this weird melting pot of a lot of things that I've learned in my life for my writing influences. So if you go way back when, The Outsiders, the first novel that I attempted to write in high school, was very much so based on like The Outsiders taking place on an island in the middle of the ocean and kind of weird post-apocalyptic things. And I did read some post-apocalyptic adult stuff when I was in high school. So I think I kind of just grabbed a bunch of stuff and meshed it all together. It was very much so like an imitation of a bunch of different things that I fell in love with. And later on, when I started reading a lot more young adult, I have my favorite authors that I really admire their styles. But I find that I think their styles, the reason why I love them so much is because they're kind of the style that I've already created for myself. One of my friends and very trusted beta reader says that my writing style is kind of like a snack. Like, it's just something that you can open and fall into and really enjoy and get to the end and feel really satisfied. But it's not like this...
It's not the fat to chew on for hours.
Yeah, it's... and it's not meant to, and my style is never... Like, I don't think that I will... I don't want to say never, because, you know, things change. But I'm not... Even if it's a really intense concept, I still want it to be easily digestible.
Right.
So, and I think a lot of the authors that I read ended up and really enjoyed ended up kind of falling into a very similar pattern of that.
When you think about your influences here that you're talking about, you have this kind of like laser focus, right? When you're younger, of just having, you know, these specific influences that are really kind of honing you in a specific direction. Whereas I think as you grow, that influence broadens a lot.
Yeah.
Because once you've informed your identity and once you've decided, you know, I'm going to be your young adult author, you're able to kind of open yourself up further, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. The only thread that I can probably find through all of the pieces of work that I've done is there's been a bit of darkness there.
Mm.
And maybe that's the fact that I love Courtney Summers, and maybe that's her influence on me still. Because she, what did she say about herself once that, or someone else said about her that she, like, she's my favorite author to read when I want to cry, but like in a good way, not in like a
way.
Yeah. Cause she's really dark, and I don't want to be Courtney Summers because she's already herself. And I definitely, she does a lot of contemporary stuff, whereas I think I'm all over the place. But that kind of dark tone, I think, is probably present in a lot of my stuff, even my summer vacation, because there is a little bit of darkness, even though it's told from the perspective of a younger child. There's still kind of like a little bit of a dark thread in it.
It's interesting to hear you say that you perceive your work in a dark way, whereas I don't know if I pick up on that as much as I find that there's a quirkiness to the way that you write, especially with dialogue and characters, that adds a bit of personality that's very unique to the way that you present.
Yeah, I think because you have to have light in the moment of darkness, so the quirkiness of the characters uplifts it. But I think that the overall tone, I mean, okay, In a Blue Moon is a fairy tale apocalypse. In the first page, someone gets beheaded. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That is dark.
Sure.
But the comedy of finding these fairy tale characters going through this horrendous event is, there is a quirkiness there, but there's also a darkness there. So,
and that's totally your personality too. Like, you, you have a very, your personality is very on point with the way that you write.
Interesting about myself.
In this podcast, Rachel finds out more about herself than she knew.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're creating an album, what do you do to put you in the sphere of influence to write that album? What do you do?
Well, the first thing that I do is I'm not very interested in what people in my own genre or sphere are doing. I find that to be dangerous because I don't want to sit on top of someone else's idea. So I look for a lot of influences outside of the music that I create. So far as going to film, I find film to be hugely inspirational. You've known, you know, we've watched certain things and I'm gone the next day and I'm writing or I'm off on a different path because of that influence and because of that film. But still, music is highly influential to me. It really is stuff that's outside of what I make. I mean, we were listening today in the car to Idols, and I really like that. Even though it's nothing I would ever personally sit down and write. But I do think, you know, if you are a musician and you're not listening to music, that's probably the worst place you could sit.
I agree on the writer standpoint too, is I actually met a couple authors who said flat out that they just don't read. Oof. And I, now these were indie authors, and I don't know if they've since been published because this was years ago, but I immediately was just shocked because, one, how do you know what you truly like? To how do you know what audience is truly like if you don't know what you truly like?
Yes.
And three, how do you end up creating something out of nothing when you have nothing as your baseline?
Right.
Because I usually try to write things that fall into the gaps of what I'm seeing. You know, like the horror story that I wrote, the couple of horror stories that I'm currently working on. It's Halloween, folks. I'm in the mood for it. So they fall into these cracks of things that I think is missing in young adult literature that I haven't seen myself.
Well, there's also, too, the tropey thing to say. It's like that art isn't created in a vacuum. So if you're placing yourself within a vacuum and you're not letting other things poke into that vacuum, that's a pretty selfish, first of all, place to be.
Yeah, because you need to give back to the creative community a little bit, I think, like by supporting other authors. If I don't support other authors, how do I expect anyone to support me?
Yeah.
A big exterior influence now for me is music, because for my horror novels, for example, I don't want to be reading a horror novel in the middle of writing my own, because I want to bring my own self to the piece. So I'll read horror novels up until maybe I start outlining or start designing the cover to get into the mood, get into the mindset of it. But then I drop all horror novels, stop reading that, maybe move on to contemporary romance while I'm writing my horror novel or something like that. But I usually pick a song and then I create a playlist off of that song and build my entire story off the feeling in that song. So Colin's walked in a couple times when I've been on the 27th listen to of the same song on repeat because I'm mid-outlining, and that song represents the entire book. And usually when I finish a story or I'm halfway through or something, I'll release the playlist and I'll say, like, these are the songs that influenced this part of the story. And if I'm writing from two different characters, then I actually have a playlist for each character because it's a different mood. It's a different feeling. It's a different narrative because it's a different person. So music for me is a big one, which makes sense that I married a musician.
Does it though?
Yeah. And I also really like sci-fi movies, which you really like sci-fi movies, so it works really well.
We have good taste. I think that's part of it.
You're gonna be that pompous.
Totally.
We have good taste.
Because I think that in order to create cool stuff, you have to have good taste. There's, you know, the Ira Glass, The Gap, where he basically says that, you know, most people start off making stuff because they have good taste and they want to make stuff in the similar vein, and it takes time to close the gap. So yeah, totally. You have to have good taste. You have to have good influences.
But that doesn't explain why I watch all of the crap that I watch.
Let's not get into that.
Let's not talk about my secret love of really horrible reality TV.
I heard somebody say, you know, that the term guilty pleasure should not even exist. You should just own it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I've been watching The Challenge since I was 13, so throw that out there. Still watch it. Still will. I don't know. Something about competitions. But it's the achievement-based thing, I think.
I think it's a little of both, because you also really like personalities.
Yeah.
And if you're developing characters, I can totally see a need to be...
They do
yelled at by personalities.
They do cast people based on their personalities. That is for sure. Those people are vetted to make sure that they will create interesting television.
Yeah, and that's the thing too with influences. A lot of people assume that artists are influenced only by art. I think that's a big misnomer, really, because there are so many different elements that go into how, at least for me, when I write a song, you know, and is that influence political? Is that influence mood? Is it, you know, there's so many different little elements that go in to why I'm sitting down to write.
Yeah. I mean, some of my creative classes that weren't even about writing, they were just about creativity, were about going out and listening to a conversation near you, being that like creeper in the corner. And you had to make an entire piece about that singular conversation. So, and you would get no context otherwise. You would just hear that one little snippet of whatever they were talking about. Currently, I'm gearing up for NaNoWriMo, so that's my motivation right now. But what is your current motivation and influence right now?
I'm trying to just write freeform at the moment. I've had a composition notebook since I was, again, 12, talking about that time. And just trying to just write when little things pop into my head, because I do want to focus on creating something for the next year, but I'm not quite sure. It's still very out there in the ether in my creative brain. So I'm just working on a few other different projects that aren't as, they're just kind of in the technical and meticulous stage of development, whereas pure creativity is just kind of sitting in the background.
And you're going to watch a lot of horror novels.
Well, yeah, it's coming time to watch some good stuff, so I'm sure that will help.
So, brief cat update. Tomas has decided that he's going to be in and out, and in and out, and in and out, as I'm sure most cat owners can understand.
I have a feeling, though, once it gets a little colder out, he'll be in.
And then out for 2 seconds, and then go, no, 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 no.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Right Sound Podcast. This podcast was produced by The Cell Studio, with theme music by Colin C.